This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Now that Labor Day is past, we can safely say that the song of the summer for 2015, at least according to the numbers, is Cheerleader by OMI. So what's next? The song for fall? Well, after the annual fervor to find out what the big summer jam is going to be and discovering the hit holiday song, autumn seems positively forgotten. So we wanted to figure out what a fall anthem might sound like and to discuss some seasonal trends in the music industry. So we've assembled a little panel to talk it over. Joining me is Carl Wilson, the music critic for Slate, Maura Johnston, music critic and editor of Maura magazine, and Alex Gale, senior editor at Billboard, which I understand all you guys have met each other digitally. Is this the first time you've actually all talked?
Yeah.
No.
Very exciting.
Maura and I know each other.
Oh, yeah, Carl and I have met.
Okay, Alex, you're the outlier then. Welcome.
I am. It's because I never leave the office, so I only meet people digitally. It's very sad.
Well, I'm glad to have you all with us. And Alex, before we get into the Song of the Fall, how is it that Billboard anoints the Song of the Summer?
Well, we've been doing it for years now, and we basically go from Memorial Day to Labor Day, and we take, without getting too boring and nerdy, the Hot 100 chart points. So, you know, we look at digital sales, streaming on YouTube and Spotify and elsewhere, and radio. And, you know, each of those things are weighted a certain way. And the song with the most points in that time period is number one. And, yeah, Cheerleader kind of was a dark horse that beat out Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, See You Again. And, yeah, it's a very summery song. It's kind of not that much of a surprise. It was pretty inescapable, so.
So that's all behind us now.
Yes. It's time to listen to sad fall music. So.
Well, if we weren't going to go off the Billboard charts, what other kind of criteria do you think help makes this seasonal song, the song of the summer in this case? Any choices for you, alternate choices for you, Maura?
I was a big fan of Trap Queen by Fetty Wap.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a song that I definitely heard. My criteria for a song of the summer is always, am I hearing it coming out of cars? And I definitely heard Cheerleader coming out of a lot of cars up here in Boston this summer. But Trap Queen was also a very popular choice for people who rolled their windows down and turned their volume up really loud. And then as sort of a late contender, and, you know, it almost is cheating because it uses the name of the season in the title, but I was a big fan of Demi Lovato's Cool for the Summer as well.
Well, Alex, you said that you guys have been doing this for years at Billboard. When did the summer song become a thing?
You know, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago is when we really started trumpeting it more. I think just the internet, honestly, is part of it, too. It's the end of the summer. There's not a lot of music coming out, and people are looking for something to write about, honestly. So I think that's one way that it started to get trumpeted, because everyone was kind of talking about their songs of summer. But, hey, here we have an actual official list with hard data that can quote-unquote prove what the song of summer is.
Yeah, well, everyone's on away on vacation. The rest of the staff puts together the song of the summer.
Yep.
Well, summer is this kind of shared experience, though. At least, you know, school is out in Los Angeles and Des Moines and New York. But fall is very specific. I mean, fall doesn't really feel like fall in California, for example. So it's another feeling.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that there is an abstract idea of fall that we share, but you know, it's funny because I think the song of the summer has become kind of an overhyped category in the past 5 or 6 years, particularly. And this summer was weird because really, I would say that nothing really dominated the way that, you know, look back to the year of Call Me Maybe, that, you know, the way that that kind of dominated. But there's this kind of obligatory notion to it now. And there's kind of a relief, I think, when that sweepstakes is over and everybody goes back to school or work or whatever they're going to. And in some ways, we do kind of retreat back into our more, you know, individual shells and silos and experience things more on the basis of those specific experiences rather than this kind of generalized idea of, you know, beaches and cars with the top down.
So what should then the criteria be for a song of the fall if we were going to ignore the charts?
With school starting, I mean, I teach at Boston College in addition to writing. And so school has sort of been, you know, the driving force in my life for the past 2 weeks. And there's a sense of sort of getting more serious. There's a sense of, you know, buckling down and also getting into the memories of fall's past, of school year's beginning, of new starts, of the, and then the thought about, you know, the sunsets getting earlier. And the sort of idea of night sort of creeping in and taking over. So for me, the songs that I thought about, you know, when I thought of songs of the fall, I think of a lot of songs that have sort of slower beats, more kind of like chiming pianos, you know, fuzzed out guitars. And then actually the pop song that I really like for this fall is one that I think from the start, it's actually from a record that many people said was a really good summer album, but I feel like this one song, because it has this kind of nighttime feel, really encapsulates how fall can be a time of transition and life getting a little tougher and a little colder, and that's Making the Most of the Night by Carly Rae Jepsen from her new album Emotion.
Let's hear a little bit of that. So Carly Rae Jepsen, Making the Most of the Night, Maura Johnson's pick for a song for the fall. And Maura, you talked a little bit about going back to school. I mean, I think there's this deep nostalgia many of us as adults feel about the fall. But what else makes a fall song? I'm thinking moodiness, you know, pumpkin-related lyrics. What makes it?
Well, for me, it's baseball, too. You know, definitely anything that you can sort of glom onto the pennant race works for a fall song for me. But I think there's a sense of moodiness. I mean, that song, even though it does reference kind of the ocean and everything, it is in this context where you think you get the feeling they're driving there, you know, when the beach is empty and they have to sneak on. For me, fall is all about a new start. You know, you get a new book bag, you get a new pair of boots, you kind of buckle down and get serious about learning German or whatever you want to do as a project, even if you're not in school for it.
You're reminding me of those like 60s genre records, music to pack your book bags by, or to learn German by. Yeah. How about you, Carl or Alex? Any picks for you for the song of the fall?
Well, I think I identify a lot with what Maura's talking about, but I think in addition for me in the fall, I think partly just as a person and also to some extent as a music critic, there's a feeling of retreat and regret and the end of summer, the sense of something is closing down. And it does bring up that kind of more nostalgic and ruminative kind of feeling along with that kind of twilight feeling that Maura was talking about. And I think I tend to retreat to kind of more singer-songwritery kind of material in the fall. I think, you know, the Carly Rae record has a lot of nice things that feel that way. There's the new album by Destroyer from Vancouver, Poison Season, which is almost a perfect title for a fall album, and that just came out at the end of August as well. And there's a song that appears on that album in sort of different iterations at the beginning, in the middle, and the end called Times Square, which really calls up that sense of looking around wistfully, and you can almost sort of hear leaves blowing around, and there's this sense of all of the characters in the song sort of looking before them and behind them and wondering where they're headed. And there's something very autumnal about that to me.
Well, let's listen to that. This is Destroyer, Times Square.
Artist and repertoire, hand in hand through the great away. Say the writing on the wall mention. honey, playing a game with the waves. You can follow a rose wherever it grows. So you could fall in love with Times Square. Times Square.
Carl, I have to say, I am so with you on this sort of glass half empty aspect of fall. You know, I see it as this kind of time to become internal and not the beginning of a new season, but sort of the end of something. And what I hear in that song, it's like, I don't know, Ziggy Stardust. I hear a lot of David Bowie in that song.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a quality of that in his vocal style. Although I think there's, you know, there's also kind of a Bruce Springsteen kind of early 80s kind of feeling with the saxophones and the guitar solos and that kind of thing that kind of deliberately unfashionable in a certain way that also seems to me to speak to a more interior sense, which is kind of ironic given the sort of broad sounds of that time.
We're talking about the song of the fall and seasonal trends in the music industry and our listening habits. Joining me, Carl Wilson, who we just heard from, Maura Johnston, and also Billboard senior editor Alex Gale. Alex, you're our numbers guy here. What do you think the song of the fall is going to be?
Honestly, what I do think right now is obviously the favorite to be the song of the fall. It's not the my personal favorite necessarily, but it would be Justin Bieber, What Do You Mean? I mean, it's already number one right now, and it has a little bit of a vibe of like going back to work, which Bieber kind of is. It's a little more serious than some summer songs would be. It just has a little more of a serious vibe. It's already number one, so obviously that would be the heavy favorite to sort of be the popular pick for Song of Fall. My pick would be actually a song by Churches, and it's interesting to me that Maura had a song from Carla Rae Jepsen because they're a little bit of a similar sound. Churches is sort of a alt-pop, synth-pop group, and they have a great song called Neverending Circles, and they're from Glasgow, and they have sort of a windy, windswept, sad fall sound, but there's a little bit of hope to it and a little bit of drive to it, because maybe this is a very New York and like sort of magazine view, but when I look at fall, I'm also like, okay, it's getting colder, but I might be a little sad that summer's over, but I'm also focused and I'm going to get down to work.
Let's hear that. Churches, Neverending Circles. You know, I hear that song and I think about, well, it's got a vibe of another era, certainly. But also for me, it's not just what's coming out this fall. It's thinking of fall's past. There is a particular kind of feeling. I wonder if any of you have picks of music that you listen to or turn to over and over again that kind of says fall to you.
In the past, the fall has also meant new seasons of college radio a lot for me, like coming back to the college radio fold and finding all the, you know, a lot of new releases. So I have a strong sort of like pull toward indie pop of various stripes, particularly the more languorous and sad type. And one of the songs that I always think of when I think of the fall is from the Olivia Tremor Control's 1996 album Dusk at Cuba's Castle. It's called Marking Time. And there's something about the piano, which is this really kind of beautifully off-kilter piano that runs throughout the song, that really just makes me think of, you know, the days getting shorter and the leaves sort of giving way to bare branches.
Let's hear a little bit of that. This is Marking Time, the Olivia Tremor Control.
Did you ever see the light inside my
Alex, is there a song that you turn to? You know, your sort of fall song?
Well, I definitely think there's a lot of nostalgia there. And for me, when I'm a kid, one of my favorite music moments was opening up Tribe Called Quest album, The Low End Theory, which came out the fall of 1991, you know, unwrapping the cassette, because that's what I had, and playing the first song on there is called Excursions, and it just, like, starts with just, like, an acoustic jazz bass line, no beat, and then Q-Tip just with this really kind of indelible, unforgettable verse. And it's just a classic album, and I think I sat there and, you know, just listened to that whole album all the way through probably like 5 times, and I still do that today.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you could find the abstract listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way that Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected, things are for the looking. If you got the money, Quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truck.
Alex, does the music industry release albums strategically like a movie studio? You know, do they think, this is a really summery record to increase the chances of winning a Grammy or making a hit?
They do somewhat. For songs, they actually do think somewhat about what can work for different seasons. For Ariana Grande's last album, Republic actually told us in an article that they, I think she had something like four, maybe even 5 singles, and they really planned them out by each season. Okay, this one's kind of a summery one. This one's good for fall. This one maybe has more of a holiday vibe to it. But the more important consideration is usually just like the fourth quarter's coming up and we need to hit our bottom line. So if we have an album by Adele, for example, or Kanye or Beyonce, to name some of the big albums that are probably coming up this quarter, they're going to put them out in the fourth quarter where more people are shopping, and then all of a sudden they have a profit for 2015.
Alex Gale, senior editor at Billboard, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And Carl Wilson, he's music critic for Slate. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Moore Johnston, music critic and editor of Moore Magazine, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
What do you think the song of the fall ought to be? Is there something qualitatively different about a good summer jam and an autumn anthem? You can share your thoughts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. For me, it's a whole album, and I do say album, that I retreat to over and over again in the fall, Neutral Milk Hotels, In the Airplane Over the Sea.
And one day we will die.